we'll head over to the other building for our time together. Pastor, you come and teach the rest of us.
Okay, we will be, of course, in 2 Peter chapter 1. Appreciate you brave souls that have weathered this cold, snowy night. And I trust that, thank you, Aaron, for passing those out. Trust that the evening will be a blessing to us all. Okay, I'm just going to do a little bit of review, so as Aaron's passing those out, you won't miss anything. These first several verses are just absolutely packed. We start out in verse 1 by being reminded by Peter that, Christian, you and I have obtained what he called like precious faith, a faith just as precious as his was. And I'm sure there's not a born-again person here that doesn't consider your faith to be precious. Remember, it's not something we conjured up on our own, but it's something that God grants to us. In verse 3, God has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything we need to live, air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, climate that is, for the most part, agreeable, everything we need for life on planet Earth. But he also has provided everything necessary for a godly lifestyle or a Godward lifestyle. So we have, of course, the Bible, we have prayer, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have the local church, we have each other, everything that we need. And so God has given us then great and precious promises. I encourage you, when you're reading the Bible, when you're having your devotions, and you come to a promise, just stop for a while and think about it, because these great and precious promises are designed by him to enable us to become more like him. And according to Romans 8, that's why God predestinated us to become conformed to the image of his son. And then we came to verses 5 through 7, which have told us, all right, you've already obtained like precious faith, now add to it. Don't just be content with, oh, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I don't have to worry about hell. I can just kind of coast. I think it would be a rare Christian that would even think that, leave alone attempt that. I remember when I got saved, it was kind of holding me back, here I come. I just wanted to grow, I wanted to learn, I wanted to serve, and that was not me, that was God. So we are to add. Remember, to add means means zeal with a sense of urgency. And so adding to our faith is basically growing as a believer. But then we have this outline that has been given to us. Giving all diligence, that's diligence with a sense of zeal, add to your faith virtue, that's moral excellence, the virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, the temperance patience, the patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity or love. And so God has given us a serious charge in verses 5 through 7. It continues to impress me how intense this passage is, and it really contains some of the more amazing truths in the Bible. This 2 Peter is, and written by none other than, of course, Peter himself. Very different from the Peter we read about in the Gospels, the great transformation that took place in his life. And of course, he had the Lord as his teacher for 3.5 years, or at least 3 years. And so he's the one God chose to write, of course, this epistle. And God's given us everything we need to fulfill that charge that's described in verses 1 through 4. As further motivation, he now tells us what will be the results if we do add to our faith or if we don't. So that's what we'll be studying tonight, the results. So beginning of verse 8, we're looking at the achievement of growth. For if these things, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here are the results in terms of what won't happen if you add to your faith. In other words, if you continue to grow as a Christian, you continue to spend time in His Word, you continue to spend time getting to know Him better and becoming more like Him as time goes on, and you're adding all of these qualities, you're growing, and never stop growing, your results will be, first of all, that you will not be barren. The word barren can take several shades of meaning. First of all, it can just simply mean idle. It also can take the sense of yielding no return because of inactivity. And the third meaning is to be at leisure. So think about those three words that are used. The idle person is also the person who yields no return because of either inactivity or being at leisure. I remember a verse in the Old Testament that says, "Woe to those that are at ease in Zion." And that verse has been a challenge to me over the decades, time after time. So you will not be barren. There will be progress. You will grow. And not only will you become stronger, not only become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, you also will be more useful. And what Christian doesn't want that? I hope that every Christian here, every Christian listening, has a deep desire to be used of God, to reach the lost, to edify one another. That's why God gave us spiritual gifts. That's why He gave us the local church. And that should be one of our major goals and desires in life, to be productive instead of barren, just the opposite. So second thing that will not happen is you will not be unfruitful. And that word simply means unproductive or destitute of good deeds. So, bottom line, you will grow and you will help others grow. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you something to think through yourself right now? In what way are you helping others grow? What's a real good way to do that? Somebody tell me.
Discipleship.
Yeah. Getting involved in discipleship. And sometimes you're on the growing end of things. But no matter how young you are as a Christian, God still can use you, and God wants to use you. And He does want you to be productive as you continue to learn. You will grow. You will help others grow. So, Christian, how are you helping others grow? If you add to your faith, you will be productive. You will not be unfruitful. There will be ways that God will use you if you make yourself usable. Put yourself at His disposal. Be like Isaiah, "Hear my Lord, send me." And then make sure you go where He wants you to go. So those are results. Secondly, we look at the requirements. Verse 8 says, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So these things must be in you. And what things would those be? What things is he referring to?
That list in the
Yes, verse? Sure. The list in verses 5 through 7, the virtues that we're to add to our faith. So, if knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, and a missed virtue be in you, then, in other words, they must become a part of you. They must identify who you are. You're not barren, you're not unfruitful, but you're being productive. If these things are in you, then they must become a part of you. They're just part of who you are. And it's not in all believers to the same degree. So not only do they need to be in you, but they need to abound. They must be in you and they must abound, or literally be increasing. When we think of abound, we think, boy, we're just becoming super Christian. That's really not the idea here. The idea is that it is an ongoing process, that you never get to the point where you stop growing, you stop adding to your faith. Now, I've been at it for 51 years plus, and so I still need to be mindful that it's necessary for me to be in the Word every day, to be involved in knowing and doing what He wants me to do. And I think that's something that every single one of us need to keep concentrating on, never satisfied with the status quo, never feeling like we've gone far enough, but always, always, always asking God to enable us. And this is not something that He's adding to our faith. It's not something we do on our own. It's zeal with a sense of urgency, yes, but it's dependent upon God's enablement. And so these things be in you and be increasing. And the realm is in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this word implies, this word knowledge implies an intimate and growing knowledge. So abound is to be increasing, and the knowledge is an intimate and growing knowledge. And how do we get to know God better? How do we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better? Absolutely. And it's not just a hurried, I read my chapter for the day, but serious time in the Word. We've already talked about that. How else?
Attending church and hearing the preaching for edification.
Sure. God gave us a local church for more reasons than to give us something to do on Sunday. And the job of the pastor is to edify the saints so that they can get involved in the work of the ministry, according to Ephesians. And one thing that I've been trying to emphasize, I'm doing it myself, and I feel like it's just really, really, really helpful, and that is at least once a day, or one attribute a day, and I think one at a time is better, so you can really concentrate on one of God's attributes. Again, there's a list on the back table there. I keep forgetting to mention that. A list of God's attributes. It's not all of them, but you don't have to do it this way, but I take one every day and just meditate on it a little bit, and then many of those attributes are communicable, and so I'll get to patience, and I'll think, Lord, I'm way too impatient. Please help me learn how to be more like You in that way. And so this intimate and growing knowledge of God is not just going to happen automatically. We have to have a zeal with a sense of urgency. We have human responsibility. God's not going to grow for us. So all genuine growth, then, is tied in with that knowledge. And to me, I know Pastor preached a sermon, it's been quite a while ago, maybe it was a Sunday school series, on the kingdom of God and how that was a major theme throughout the Bible. Well, you can't have the kingdom without the king, right? And I believe that the major theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Put the two together, you know, you really can't have one without the other. As we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and how are we going to do that? Well, again, it's back in His Word, coming to church, being there every time the doors are open, if at all possible, taking every opportunity to learn. And there are numerous ways that a person can do that. So this is an intimate and growing knowledge. And as we grow in knowledge of Him, then we become more productive. Now, this is one of the two qualities that Peter includes in his closing challenge in chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in grace. Anybody have this memorized? Oh, there it is on the, okay, never mind. You can. And knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, we spend time in His Word. And especially in the Gospels, learning like the disciples did from him, being equipped by him. And so as we grow in knowledge of him, we become more productive. And as we become more productive, our knowledge of him grows. So you see how that works? First, we grow in knowledge. We learn about Christ. He says, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Learn of him. Then we become more productive, more usable. And as we become more productive, as we get busy, involved serving the Lord Jesus Christ, our knowledge of him grows. So it's just kind of a snowball thing. And so the bottom line is, you will get to know him and his ways better. So that's the achievement of growth. In verse 9, we see the alternative to growth. But he that lacketh these things, those same things in verses 5 through 7, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. So he who lacketh these things, three things then will follow. The first one I'm calling a failure to perceive. And that itself is described two ways. First of all, blindness. And that blindness, I believe, takes the form of an inability to see the needs in our own lives, although others may. The inability to see the need in our own life. Jesus asks the question, why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye and ignore the beam that's in your own eye? And that's a good question. Why do we see the splinter in our neighbor's eye and forget about the beam in our own eye? That's a question he asks us. He wants an answer. Why?
We don't see our own need.
We tend to think too highly of ourselves, maybe. It's easier to see the faults in other people than to see the faults in ourselves at times. And so that's another thing, that's another advantage to studying the Lord's attributes. We see how lacking we are. I read about his compassion and I think, man, I've got a long ways to go. And his love, wow, to him and to others. So, unable to see the need in our own life, if we're not adding to our faith, if we're not growing, we kind of get stuck in a rut. We kind of get self-satisfied. We kind of get to the point where we're not coming before the Lord on a regular basis. Lord, forgive me. I did that again. I thought that again. I said that again. I felt that way again. The word literally means to be darkened by smoke. Sounds like me trying to barbecue. So here's what happens. The person who just decides, I've got like precious faith, I'm going to coast, their spiritual perception has been darkened. And because of the fact that they're not able to see themselves as God sees them and as others see them, they don't have that zeal with a sense of urgency. And so while positively it snowballs as we grow in knowledge, as we add to our faith, but negatively it snowballs as we don't. So you see how important this is. So the first thing is blindness, and the second one is short-sightedness. You say, well, now, wait a minute, if you're blind, how can you be short-sighted? Well, blindness means to be darkened. Spiritual perception has been darkened. Short-sightedness means to see dimly or only what is near or close to the eyes. He only sees the basic and the obvious. Only sees that which seems important or beneficial to him. And it becomes all about self. And life is viewed through meism. which is the very essence of the sin nature and the very essence of the spiritually immature believer. It's always, what about me? So he only sees the basic and the obvious, only sees that which is important and beneficial to him in his eyes. Adding spiritual qualities to his faith is a somewhat foreign thought. And as D. Edmund Hebert described it, is beyond the scope of his earthbound vision. Just not an issue. So first, a failure to perceive, and then secondly, a forgetfulness of purging. Initial purging produced great joy and determination. How many of you are old enough? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you are old enough to remember when you got saved? I know some kids get saved, they're so young that they don't even really remember the details. But if you were old enough to remember, especially if you got into maybe your teen years or like myself as an adult, you remember that initial great joy. And I dare say you remember that initial great determination. When I first got saved, I was working at General Electric. And I understand now that I shouldn't have been doing that. But while I was on the job, I was witnessing to anybody who would take the time to listen to me. I remember standing back and behind the coal cage where I worked and presenting a plan of salvation to one of my co-workers. And he looked at me and he said, "You ought to be a preacher." And I'm thinking, yeah, right. Like that's going to happen. But apparently it did. So that initial purging produced great joy, great determination. How is it now? Is there still joy? And wasn't last Sunday we sang the song, "Joy in Serving Jesus"? Yeah, there is great joy in doing what the Lord wants us to do. Produce great joy and determination. But a failure to grow dulls one's spiritual enthusiasm. And life just becomes one day much like the next. You see the two different directions that a believer can take. One that adds to his faith, one that doesn't. Luke 7:47. I'm going to back up and read the context. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon, this is not Peter. Simon answered and said, "I suppose he that whom thou forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou was rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." And then here it is. "Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." How do you understand that verse? Let me read it again. "Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Especially this last part. "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." How should we understand that verse? Especially the last part of it. Does that mean that some people are way greater sinners than others? And so the terrible sinner that gets saved is going to love more than the believer that didn't have a whole lot of... bad things in their life. I think it's to the degree that we realize how much we have been forgiven. No matter what kind of life our past was. To the degree that we appreciate forgiveness and realize the magnitude of forgiveness to that degree, our love for him will grow. So failure to appreciate forgiveness is part of our spiritual enthusiasm being dulled. We tend to slip back into old patterns, and the inevitable result of failing to add to our faith. Well, my time is up for now. Do I have enough to spend another week? Let me look at my notes. And we will say, yes, I do. So, any comments, questions before we go to prayer requests? Okay. I've got several I'd like to mention.